Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Church. Good afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters, to all of the prayer warriors, to all of the intercessors, to all of the men of God and the women of God who are on their faces seeking the Lord. I greet you in the precious, precious, precious name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You know, People look at the church today, and there are two camps. There's a camp that claims, and I hear them say this all the time, "Oh, we're in revival. The church is in revival. Oh, the Lord is just doing signs and wonders." And when I look at the videos that they submit to me, and they say, "Look at this. Look how the Lord was moving," and I look at the entire video. And I say, where was the Lord moving in this video? There's a group of people very, very optimistic who claim that the church is in revival. And then there's a group like me who I declare the church has flatlined. The church is in ICU. The church is an intensive care unit. And I can argue that because when I look at the Bible and then I look at the church is not doing well. The church is simply not doing well. And this is why we are considering Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1, where the prophet Isaiah looked at the church in his day, and he too was heartbroken. He too was of the opinion that the church in his day was in ICU, that the church in his day had flatlined, that the church in his day was almost dead. If not by the grace of God, the church would have already died. And all this stuff being called a revival is nothing more than just mere activity. A lot of activity, but there's no God. A lot of talk, but no God. A lot of teaching, no God. A lot of preaching, no God. A lot of hooey in the church, a lot of noise, a lot of programs, but no God. In fact, I can say like it was said in the days of Samuel, Ichabod, the glory is departed. The glory is departed. The glory is departed. You see, and I can tell you why the glory is departed. because when you look to the church Sunday to Sunday, souls aren't getting saved. Oh, they're in the house. They're packing the house and they're collecting big offerings, but packing the house and collecting big offerings doesn't mean it's a move of God. It simply means that man is good at manipulation. Man is good at advertising. Man is good at drawing the crowds. Hollywood does that. Hollywood draws the crowds. I mean, just look at the movie theaters every weekend and week out. Huge crowds attending the movie theaters. Well, Hollywood does that by means of advertising, by means of hype, by means of stars, female stars and male stars, and the church does the same thing. The church parades stars, movie stars. And there's a lot of hype and there's a lot of programming and there's a lot of advertising that goes on. But that doesn't translate that into the fact that God is there, because God is not there. And the church is going backwards. We're slipping backwards. And let me tell you something about movie stars. Movie stars all die. Marilyn Monroe, dead. Right? Charlton Heston, dead. Humphrey Bogart, dead. If you're building your church on movie stars, what's going to happen to the church when the movie stars are dead and you can no longer attract the crowds? What will happen to the church? Because movie stars don't have life in them. Stars will one day die. What will happen to the church when she can no longer draw, because she no longer has a red carpet, because she no longer has movie stars? What will happen to the church? Well, it will go the way of the dinosaur. If it's built on personalities. But if the church is built on Christ, the one who rose from the dead, then the church will live forevermore. And so, as I share with you, saints, we have to pray. We have to do like Isaiah said in Isaiah 62:1, for Zion's sake, for the church's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, again, the church, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. We're not satisfied. We're those of us who are into the gospel, those of us who are doing God's work, we're not satisfied with the condition of the church. We're not happy. Church today is not powerful. The church today is limping along. The church today is in a wheelchair, if you will. The church today is undergoing hospice. The church today is in trouble, and this is why we're blowing the shofar. We're promoting a clarion call. We're inviting all intercessors, all prayer warriors, all serious men and women of God. We're inviting them to join us in prayer for the church, that the church would return to being the church. And if you look at your church today, you know it's on the ICU. Why? Because the church has already cut out prayer, has removed prayer. Prayer is gone. Prayer is history. In fact, they encourage you to pray on your own. But if we are a New Testament church, a New Testament church marched on its knees. The New Testament church was a militant church. It was a church that marched on its knees. It put the fear of God in the devil, because the devil saw the New Testament church on its knees, calling down the power of God. And the New Testament, the early church, was a powerful church. When Peter was arrested, what happened? The early church went to praying without ceasing. Paul writes in his letters, he says, pray without ceasing. Paul encourages a young bishop by the name of Timothy. He says, first and foremost, that prayer, supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You see what the apostle told the young bishop? Make prayer number one in the church. And saints, that's what we have to do. We have to make prayer number one, not personalities number one. With the church must return to prayer, not movie stars. Not movie stars. Movie stars are actors. These so-called bigwig prophets and prophetess, they're actors. They're putting on a show. The church loves entertainment. And that's why, you know, the church is sick. Loves entertainment. And we must communicate. And what must we do? We must communicate with God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. Fellowshipping with God. Communing with God. That's what prayer is. And the church talks to everybody except the Lord. Talks about everybody except the Lord. Oh, we talk about this preacher, and we talk about that preacher, and we talk about this other preacher, and we talk about this conference, and we know about that conference, and we know about this ordination service, and we know about this camp meeting that's going on. We know so much of everything else, but we know so little about the Lord. We know so little about the Lord because we haven't spoken to the Lord in months. Oh, we love to speak, but it's not to the Lord. We like to pontificate. We like to go behind the pulpit. We like to show the people how much we know. We love to talk. But we're not talking to him to whom the church belongs to. The church belongs to the Lord. People will kill to get an appointment with their pastor. People will kill. People will go through hoops. People will rearrange their schedules if their pastor will give them the time of day and give them a counseling session. People will bend over backwards. They will perform great feats to get an appointment with the pastor. Yet they ignore the fact that they need an appointment with God. They can care less about having an appointment with God, which is prayer. This is why we're in so much trouble, saints. The church, first and foremost, must be a praying church. First, you know that the Moravians, the great missionary church, the Moravian church, the great, they had unceasing prayer for 100 years straight. They formed 24-hour prayer chains, the Moravians did. 24, and these prayer chains existed for 100 years. That was the period known in the church as the Great Missionary Period of church history, where the Moravians led the church in prayer. They formed 24-hour prayer chains, and those 24-hour prayer chains went on and on for 100 years. If we want Zion to be Zion, if we want the heavenly Jerusalem to be the heavenly Jerusalem, it's not going to come by preaching, and it's not going to come by teaching, and it's not going to come by pontificating. It's not going to come with conferences. It's not going to come with dance. It's not going to come with song. It's not going to come with sermonic solos. It's going to come because the church has rediscovered the ministry of the knees. And in today's discussion, as we look at Isaiah chapter 62, we're moving from verse 1, and now we want to begin to discuss Isaiah 62, verse 2. Isaiah 62, 2. And the title of today's study is The Revitalized Church. That's right, the revitalized, the resurrected church, to be a godly witness to a lost and dying world. This is how you know that the church has lost its power. Why? Because the church is a witness to no one. The church today is an embarrassment. The church is a series of scandals. The church dares not to open its mouth. The church has no witness. The church has stopped witnessing. Why has it stopped the witness? Because it doesn't have any boldness. Where did you get your boldness? You get your boldness by means of prayer. In Acts, saints, look, in Acts chapter 4, let me just read Acts chapter 4 to you. After the apostles were arrested and told to no longer preach in the name of Jesus, they returned to their company. The disciples returned. Peter and John, after being arrested for healing the lame man, Peter and John were told, do not preach again in the name of Jesus. Don't preach in that name. Then we're told in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, and being let go, they went to their own company, all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, what did they hear? They heard that they were threatened, and they were told, don't use the name of Jesus, don't promote the name of Jesus, don't mention the name of Jesus. It goes on to say in verse 24, and when they heard that, the disciples lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and all that's in it. Now I'm going to jump down to verse 29. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto us, thy servants, that with all boldness, that we may speak thy word, that you, stretching forth your hand to heal, and to do signs and wonders, and that they may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Today we dare not confront the gay agenda. We dare not confront the militant gay movement that is making inroads in the church. We're just quiet about it. We won't say a peep about it. We won't open up our mouth about it. Why? Because we have no boldness. Why? Because we have not prayed. And this is why the prophet Isaiah was sickened over the condition of the church. And he said, I will not hold my peace. And I will not remain restful until what? Until Zion and Jerusalem be what they ought to be. I'm not going to relax. And I'm not going to remain quiet. I will open my mouth. I will make as much noise as possible. I will go before the Lord. I'm going to stir some things up in the spirit, because Zion needs to be Zion and Jerusalem needs to be Jerusalem. And right now, Zion and Jerusalem are both in ICU. They're flatlined. They bear no witness. They have no testimony. They've lost their boldness. So the title of today's study is The Revitalized Church, the church that has been resurrected by means of prayer, this revitalized church to be a godly witness to the lost and dying world. And in our introduction, the prophet Isaiah is the relentless prophet who vows to pray and cry aloud until the church becomes a light in the midst of great global darkness. He says in verse number 6, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, that shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention to the Lord, keep not your silence and give him no rest until he establish and until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. This thing about the church being relegated to a corner and then being told to keep your mouth shut, those days are over. We're going to pray until the church of the Lord Jesus Christ arises in glory and power to tell everyone who has a satanic agenda, move back. Get out of our way. We're coming. We're moving. We're declaring, we're conquering in Jesus' name. Now here in verse number 2, the prophet goes on to say, I will not hold my peace and I will not rest until what? Until the Gentiles see thy righteousness and the kings thy glory. Now it's interesting here, we're only going to look at the first portion of verse 2 today, but the prophet is praying for the Gentiles to finally see God's righteousness. He says, I'm going to pray until the Gentiles see thy righteousness. Now, what's interesting to note that here in point number 1, we want to emphasize three words. The first word is Gentile. Who are the Gentiles? Who are the Gentiles? And then what is it that they're supposed to see? And how is it that they're supposed to see? So first, let's consider who are the Gentiles. Well, according to the Hebrew language, the Gentiles are the Goyim. G-O-Y, Goy, 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 Goy. Goy is singular for nation or country. But when you put the I-M ending, it becomes plural. That's why the translators translated it, and the Gentiles. Gentiles is plural. So the Gentiles here, or the Goyim, G-O-Y-I-M, are the nations of the earth, the peoples of the earth, the countries in this earth. And what is it that they're supposed to see? In fact, the very word see in Hebrew, it's the word that emphasizes to see not just with your eyes, but it's to see with your mind, to see with a level of comprehension. It's like the child who's taking the science class and the teacher says, now I want you to look through the microscope and tell me what you see. And the student is able to describe what the microscope allows them to see. And then the teacher says, now draw that on a sheet of paper and show me. So now when the student looks through the microscope, the student is able to see little tiny things amplified. And so you see, when we pray, God allows the nations to see things in amplified form. It's not so that you and I can see them in amplified form. It's so that the nations, the nations, the Goyim, the nations, the people, the countries of the earth, are the unsaved masses of humanity. It's all of the human populace that doesn't know God. That's the Gentiles. So here this prayer is about reaching the Gentiles. It's about evangelism. Isaiah is saying, you know, the Gentiles won't get saved and the Gentiles will not get the blessing of Abraham. What's the blessing of Abraham? God said to Abraham in Genesis 12:2, and you, Abraham, you, I will make you what? A blessing, and you will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth, to all the Goyims, to all the people of the earth, to all the country, to every man and woman, I will make you a blessing. You will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. How is he going to be a blessing? Well, he's going to bring salvation to the nations by means of Jesus Christ. So Isaiah prays. He says, I pray that the Gentiles shall see with their minds, not just see with their eyes, but shall see with their eyes the righteousness of God. what's the righteousness of God? Well, the righteousness of God is God having a people that live right. You know, the world is confused because they look at church folk and they see church folk living just like them. And the unsaved say, but are you saved? And the church folks say, yeah, we're saved. Well, then why do you curse like we curse? And why do you drink like we drink? And why do you womanize the way we womanize? And why do you smoke the way we smoke? See, the Gentiles used to see a church that didn't womanize. They used to see a church that didn't smoke. They used to see a church that didn't dance. They used to see a church that didn't laugh at dirty jokes. They used to see a church. But now, since the church is flatlined and the church is no longer the church, the Gentiles haven't seen a church in a long time. How many unsaved people go to church and they have a cursing preacher in the pulpit? That's right. There are preachers who say the F word and the B word from the pulpit. I've been sent tons of video where I've seen preachers saying the F word and the B word. Well, what's the difference between that and what you hear in the street? There's no difference. You see, it's been a long time since the Gentiles have seen the church living right. And that's why the Gentiles don't aspire God, because they don't see God in the earth, and the way God operates in the earth is by means of the church. The Gentiles shall see God's righteousness. What is God's righteousness? God's righteousness is God's people living right, God's church living right, God's church setting the standard. Well, the Gentiles don't see a standard because they don't see a church living according to God's word. Isaiah prays, he prays that God would once again revitalize the church, resurrect the church, take the church out of ICU, and that the church would once again live by God's righteous standards. When you go back to the book of Genesis, here's a very interesting word. In Genesis chapter 7, look what God says to Noah. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, look what God says to Noah. And the Lord said unto Noah, Genesis 7:1, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. You know why Noah was invited inside the ark? It's not because he built the ark. Don't be confused. Noah was not given access to the ark because he built the ark. Noah was given access into the ark because Noah lived right. He lived by God's standard. And when Noah, and that's why the Bible, the book of Hebrews, if you go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, you will see Hebrews chapter 11. Here's a beautiful text. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. By faith Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with reverence. He prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You see, when you read Noah, when you read about Noah in Genesis 7:1, God said, you come into the ark because I've seen you and the way you live, and you've been living righteous. And here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it tells us that, verse 7, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Now, the Gentiles haven't seen God's righteousness because the Gentiles haven't seen righteous preachers. You see, God can only reveal his righteousness to the Gentiles by means of the church. The church has to testify. The church has to showcase God's righteousness. And the way the church does it is by means of righteous living. The Gentiles need to see that there's another group of people in the earth living the way God said man ought to live. Right now, the Gentiles don't see that. The Gentiles see a church living just like the Gentiles, doing what the Gentiles do, laughing at what the Gentiles laugh, liking what the Gentiles like, dancing to what the Gentiles like to dance to, drinking what the Gentiles like to drink, pushing up their nose what the Gentiles like to push up their nose. So Isaiah says, I will not hold my peace, and I will not rest until the Gentiles actually see a church living right. And then Isaiah goes on to say, and I will also not rest, and I will also not hold my peace until the kings of the earth see thy glory. Now, it's interesting because in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 2a and b, first in part a, Isaiah tackles the Gentiles. The Gentiles are innumerable. You can't number the Gentiles. I mean, right now, how many people on the earth? 2 billion people. The Gentiles are 2 billion. But the kings, there's only a few kings. There's only a few heads of state. If you have 200 countries, listen to this. If you only have 200 countries in the earth today, then you really only have two heads of state. If you take America, we have President Obama. You take Germany, then you have Prime Minister Merkel. If you take England, then you have the Prime Minister of listen. For each country, there's only one king or only one president or only one prime minister. So that means if there's 200 countries, there's only 200 heads of state. So when Isaiah talks about kings, he's only talking about people who really have great power. And then the rest are just people who are living, people who are just surviving, people who are just having babies and getting married and going to work. And so those, the Gentiles, you have many. So what Isaiah is saying is, we, the church, also want to exercise our influence because we want to show the kings of the earth. We want to show those people who have great power our glory. And where do we get our glory from? We get it from the King of Glory. Now, the reason why heads of states pay the church no mind is because the church has no glory. It has no glory because it hasn't been praying. It has no glory because it has not been hanging out with the King of Glory. Isn't that what David said in one of his Psalms? He said, lift up your gates, all ye heads, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord. He's the King of Glory. The reason why we have no glory, the reason why we have no glory has rubbed off on us is because we haven't been rubbing up. When was the last time the Lord really showed up at your church? When was the last time the Lord showed up at your church the way he showed up in Isaiah chapter 6? Because when the Lord shows up in all his glory, the prophets are changed. Isaiah is changed. Isaiah says, woe is me. I need to repent, Isaiah says. I never saw myself in this light before. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean. You see, when the King of Glory shows up, the backslidden prophet can't stay backslidden. And a backslidden people cannot remain when the King of Glory shows up. You see, and that's why the kings have not seen our glory, because we have not been hanging out with the King of Glory, because glory is transferable. And you only get it when you hang out with God. You only get that anointing, that power, that doxa in Greek, that kabod in Hebrew. The word glory means heavyweight. Heavyweight. You know, like a heavyweight champ? You know, like a person who commands a lot of respect, and the kings of the earth who demand respect do not respect us because they don't see any glory on us. They think of us as a pushovers. They think of us as nobodies. A person who has glory is not a nobody. A person who has glory on them is a person to be reckoned with, is a person to be respected, is a person to be honored. The kings of the earth do not honor the church, and the Gentiles in the earth do not see the church. Why? Because we're not living right, and we haven't been hanging out with God. Remember, David says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? Have you invited God? Have you invited God to show up? When was the last time the pastor of your church invited God to show up? When was the last time your pastor said, "We're going to shut every program down until we get on our faces and we make sure that the King of glory does come in"? Who's the King of glory? The Lord God. He's the King of glory. You see, Isaiah's tired of the church playing church. Isaiah's tired of programs. Isaiah's tired of dance and songs and worship and sermonic solos. Isaiah's tired of just playing church, going through the motions, having the organist play, collecting the offering, collecting the tithes, hearing the sermon. Isaiah's tired of all of that. Because at the end of the day, it's a church that's not living right, and it's a church with no glory. You know that the church in the book of Acts, and I conclude with this, you know that the book of Acts, the church of the apostles, the church of the, remember, it's called the church of the upper room. The church of the upper room. What does the upper room mean? Well, they started in prayer. Jesus said, "Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere until you be endued with power from on high." Where's that church today? What did the apostles do in order to be endued with power on high, in order to get the glory from God so that the Gentiles could see? Where were these? They were in the upper room. What were they doing? They were praying. They were tarrying. And once the Holy Ghost came, what happened? They went out. And how many Gentiles got saved? 3,000. And after that, 5,000. And after that, oh, I tell you, people were getting saved left and right. The Gentiles, they said, "Men and brethren," on the day of Pentecost, the Jewish brethren from the diaspora, they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" And Peter said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, on that day, on the day of Pentecost, the Gentiles saw the righteousness of God. And then after that, the apostles were arrested. You read about the apostle Paul. You read about Peter. Didn't they go before kings? Then how many times did Paul go before kings? Just read the book of Acts, and you'll see that he went before many kings. And when Peter and Paul stood before kings, these kings saw the glory of God. My brothers and sisters, we're not the early church. And we're not the early church because we're not tarrying. And we're not the early church because we don't have any righteousness. And we're not the early church because we don't have any glory. And the only way you can get the glory and the righteousness is by tarrying before the Lord. We're a sad church today. We're a pathetic church today. We're a handicapped church today. We're a wheelchair church today. We're a handicapped church. In other words, folks, why don't you start calling Accessoride? We might as well all of us start calling Accessoride if you want to get to church. Because this church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church today, it's got major issues. It's got no glory. It's got no righteousness. It's got no witness. It has no impact. It has no influence. It has no power. It has no voice. Because it refuses to pray. But we have watchmen on the wall. We have men and women right now who are praying, who are believing God. So there's hope. Well, saints, that'll do it for today. Tune in next week as I will have another teaching. And next week we're going to look at Isaiah 62, C and D. So tune in next week as we unfold this teaching and to show how much we need to pray and how much we need to seek the face of God. Not just to be a witness to the Gentiles and not just to be a witness to the kings, but so that we can be revitalized. Because I don't know about you, I'm tired about going to church and the church is dead. I'm tired of dead services. I'm tired of the phoniness. I'm tired of the acting. I'm tired of going through the motions. I'm tired of the routine. I'm tired of the tradition. I want God to show up in all his glory. And I want to hear people saying, woe is me. It's only going to happen if we seek God in prayer. And the King of Glory does actually show up. God bless you, saints. I love you in Jesus. Tune in tomorrow to the Inspirational Psalmist broadcast. God bless. Battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.